The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
There are a lot of things in the Bible Belt that aren't in the Bible. And we got to remember that because we start filling our heads with religious ideas. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to be in line, popcorn in hand, ready to watch my blockbuster film of every sin I've ever committed. Yeah. And the truth is God has destroyed that reel. He remembers them no more.
Andrew Farley answers the hard, forbidden, or taboo questions about Christianity next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. That's Tammy over there. And we're excited because, you know, Tammy, I love the online thing I get to do. I get to go into depth, have long conversations with a lot of different people. And when I had Andrew Farley on, I was like, we really need to share him with our broadcast audience because he's got a book called 101 Bible Questions. We're not going to get to all of them today. Just warn you up front. But I think you're going to hear some things that'll make you think, maybe put your mind at ease about some things, and maybe surprise you. Mm-hmm. So, Andrew, welcome to Life Today.
Hey, thank you for having me. Great to be here.
So I've watched you online for a while, and of course we had a conversation online. Yeah. I think Tammy, you've just been introduced to him a little bit.
Totally. I did not know
some
about
things
Pastor
surprised
Andrew.
You?
Totally surprised me. I was sitting at home watching YouTube stuff, wanting to get to know Pastor Andrew, and I'm like, I like this. I was taking tons of notes, and I'm like, I did not know that. A girl raised in church my whole life, and I'm like, this is new to me, and actually sort of freeing. Is that right, though? Am I right to question this, something that I've known my whole life? And then Pastor Andrew would give a scripture. Mm. How do we know when it's the Word of God and when it's maybe a little bit altered?
So, I mean, for me, it's like the promise, it has to be real. The truth will set you free. So that means that a bunch of error would put you in bondage and freak you out and confuse you. So I think sometimes the easiest information to pass on to other people is the same thing that we heard growing up. And so we just perpetuate this sort of lifeless religiosity. And what we're doing with the grace message is we're coming in and saying, hey, let's rethink the finished work of Christ. This gospel is actually way better than you could ever imagine.
Okay, you said something there that just a lot of people, their red flags went up when you said the grace message.
Yeah.
Define that for us, because I know what you're not saying. Mm-hmm. But tell us what you are saying.
Yeah, well, first, the grace message is the name of our ministry. So I use that term to talk about the gospel of grace, salvation by grace, growing by grace. Like, you know, Paul said, just as you started, continue in Christ the same way. Mm. So we can never have too much grace because the Bible says in Romans that sin will not master you because you're under grace. So let's embrace that grace. Let's not limit it. Grace is our victory over sin.
Here's how people hear that. I know you know this. Here's how people hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have to worry about sinning because I've got grace. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why is that just way off?
Well, because grace is a lot bigger than forgiveness. Grace is a lot bigger than mercy. By God's grace, you've got a new heart. By God's grace, you've got a new nature. You're put in a oneness with Christ. You're united with Him. Titus 2 says the grace of God teaches us to live an upright life. And that's what we're talking about. Mm.
Okay, so I want to talk about salvation.
Yeah.
Okay. So for me, it's the basic understanding of salvation, but let's talk about that. Like, what is salvation? But beyond that, so many people fear that they could lose salvation. Can you, when you get it, is it possible to lose it? I mean, there's definitely arguments around tables about salvation.
Yeah, I mean, if we're not careful, we end up with a theology of basically, you're forgiven of all your sins until you sin. So we're putting a condition on someone who has given us unconditional love. And as far as what salvation is, like, I think, again, the average definition is you get your sins forgiven and you're going to heaven. And what what we're saying is, no, it's bigger than that. Mm-hmm. You get your sins forgiven, you're going to heaven, but also there's been a heart surgery, there's been a DNA swap, out with the old, in with the new. Mm-hmm. So suddenly, like, the desire, the core desire where you were addicted to sin, mm-hmm. that is gone, and you're now allergic to sin. Mm-hmm. Now, coming over here, I was preparing to eat lunch with you guys, and they gave me a sandwich. I had to be careful that it didn't have a certain dressing because I'm allergic to eggs. Oh. Well, the Bible is basically saying it's very much like that spiritually, that believers are allergic to sin and addicted to Jesus now. So as far as not being able to lose your salvation, I mean, to me at this point, it's a no-brainer because I look at the promises of God and I've got to decide, is God a liar? Because he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Nobody can snatch you out of my hand. Even when you are faithless, I remain faithful. Nothing separates you from the love of Christ. And then secondly, I would say, regarding our forgiveness, I mean, what kind of forgiveness do we have? Partial forgiveness or total? Because Jesus said it's finished, and he's taken away our sins as far as the east is from the west. He keeps no record of our wrongs. And lastly, Jesus called it everlasting life. If it's everlasting, then it lasts forever. So if I picked you up off the Titanic and rescued you in a lifeboat, took you halfway back to New York City, but dumped you in the Atlantic, that wouldn't be salvation. And unfortunately, that's the view many people have of our life in Christ. When God has promised us 10 ways throughout the scriptures, it is blasted at us in the New Testament, I'll never leave you.
Love that. Wow.
I think it's easy to think you can earn your salvation if you think you can unearn your salvation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't earn mine. So yep. I kind of don't think I can unearn it. But there's this problem. Mm-hmm. There's this problem of sin. Mm-hmm. I still sin, do yep. I not? Yep. I mean, I'm telling... I
he
do.
Does, he does.
Right? Ask my wife, right? How does that work? I mean...
Yeah, well, I think you're wise to bring up the simple fact that, you know, we didn't do anything to get our salvation. We didn't earn it, achieve it, so therefore we don't sustain it or maintain it.
Yeah.
And if we get off on that road, then it's like, okay, how do I know I'm saved? And I think we have to say, all right, yes, I sin, I struggle every day. That's a reality. But I was never saved by my sinless perfection. It was never about me and my roller coaster experience. My performance is going to go up and down and all around, but Jesus is my constant. I mean, the bottom line is some people say, well, God will never leave you, but what if you wake up someday and leave him? And I think that ignores our identity in Christ, because look at what God did. He took the person that wanted to abandon Jesus, and he took that person to the cross with him, crucified with Christ, buried with Christ. Now you're a new creation, the new self, and the new self will never stop believing and never stop loving Jesus. In fact, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Ephesians 6:24. It says that we have an undying love for Christ. It's imperishable. It will never fade. And wow, when you think about that, God has taken care of our dedication and commitment, all of that issue that we're worried about. Oh, what if I abandon him? He says, no, I'll never abandon you. And I've caused you to love me forever.
So what are we, prodigal sons when we live in sin? Are we still a son who's just walked away from God? You know, in a sense, we're still sons, but we're living in the slop. Is that what sin is?
Yeah,
for the Christian?
Here's the crazy thing. I mean, we're never, ever in sin spiritually ever again. We're always in Christ, but look at what we're doing. We're doing exactly what you said. We're committing sins as a child of God. We're not dead in our sins. We're alive in Christ, but we're not acting like it.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I grew up thinking, all right, when the Holy Spirit is bringing up issues in my life, he's gonna beat me up about them, shame me, guilt me, and I would wait for the hammer to drop. And now now I'm realizing, wait, no, the New Testament is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, hey, you're a child of light. Walk in a manner that is worthy of your beautiful calling. You're holy, you're righteous, you're blameless. Amen. So God is never tearing us down. He's always building us up in Jesus. He's never shaming us. He's always using our identity to inspire us. His Spirit bears witness with ours that we are children of God. Therefore, walk in a way that fits who you are.
Ooh. That already like just lifts me up so much, because I think so many people feel like the heaviness of, you know, even walking into church, you've messed up again. You can't measure up. You are disqualified. You will never be enough. And I think we walk out and we just live with this. This week was, I wasn't good. I wasn't a good Christian. I sinned. I yelled at my kids. Whatever. There's always something. We're always looking at this rather than, well, everything you just said, Pastor, that gave me a fight inside, like fight for this, believe this, listen to this in your life. So for me, it's like, I wanted to instantly say, if you're going to a church where you're hearing the other, then find another church where they're lifting you up. But I know so many of us are just, we're taught a certain thing, and it's just really hard to get beyond that. Even when I think about, so we talked about salvation.
Yeah.
Think about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Talked a little bit about that. Like, I feel like I've got to run to Jesus truthfully, and I probably always will. It's my personality. When I mess up, I'm like, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
And you talked about that. Mm-hmm. And I think I was listening to that in one of your podcasts or maybe reading in your book about forgiveness.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So first of all, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. The healthy attitude anytime we sin is, I'm sorry, I regret it, I have this remorse. Remember, I've got this beautiful new heart that is addicted to Jesus, and I'm allergic to sin. So there's that natural reaction. But also, I got to factor in what Jesus actually did for me. We call it the finished work of Christ because we don't have to finish it. He did it all. And so 2,000 years ago, he looks down the timeline of your sins and he says, I remember them no more. Past, present, and future. Christians are not being forgiven progressively. We are totally forgiven people. The average Christian seems to think that we need to get forgiven sin by sin, little by little, almost like paying off your car, installments, paying off your mortgage and payments. You know, we've got this unusual view. Basically, it's an apology-based forgiveness instead of a blood-based forgiveness.
Ooh.
So Jesus shed his blood once. It worked the first time, no repeat needed, and therefore we are totally forgiven people forever.
What about judgment? I mean, judgment's coming, right? We're going to give an account of everything we've said or done.
Yeah. So the only answer to that is, he who believes in me is not judged. He who does not believe in me stands judged already.
Wait, that's in the Bible? Who
exactly.
knew? That's good news.
So you're right. I mean, look, there are a lot of things in the Bible Belt that aren't in the Bible. And we got to remember that because we start filling our heads with religious ideas. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to be in line, popcorn in hand, ready to watch my blockbuster film of every sin I've ever committed.
Yeah.
And the truth is, God has destroyed that reel. He remembers them no more. So we got to watch the double talk, because we're saying, I'm totally forgiven. I'm totally, except when the judgment comes, I'm totally cleansed.
Yes.
God remembers them no more, but later on, he'll remember them.
Yes.
So we've got a double talk in our belief system, and sometimes we're not even aware of it.
Oh, goodness.
So, you know, in this book, 101 Bible Questions, I'm helping people strip away the double talk. We're going to highlight Jesus like never before. We're going to say, what did he actually do for me? And what did he do to me? And how radical and how incredible his love is.
That is so good. That's what I love so much about your teaching. Seriously, it was like, you know, you said it's like it's not rocket science. Mm-hmm. There's no worm in the apple, which I loved. I'm going to use that. And I did just now. But you're just like, it's just so simple. And I think sometimes we complicate it so much. And then we're taught, like you said, a certain way. And now I'm going to try to teach my other friends this. And I get it a little bit backwards. But one thing I just wanted to say that meant so much to me, because I know I've often even said, I want to get closer to God. Let's get closer to God at this conference. Let's let's grow closer. And then you had said something that was like a light bulb went off. You're like, I'm going to say that, Tammy, you are close to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But what your prayers need to be is like, give me a greater understanding. Let me invest in the understanding of God. That changed a little something in my life at that moment. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I mean, we're always doing this. Like, you know, I'm 12 years old and the worship leader's on stage and he's got 42 holes in his jeans and the smoke is rolling out and the music is blaring and he looks up and he says, God, come down into this place, fall fresh, come visit us. And we're so used to a visitation mentality, like God's going to come near and then go away and then come near again and go away.
Right.
And we gotta realize we're the building. I mean, we're the church. We're a walking church with Christ in us. And our closeness with God is free. And you're right. I mean, we don't always feel it. We don't always think it.
Yeah.
And so there's a renewing of the mind. But let's do a one-foot journey from head to heart. Let's come down here and say, how close am I, even when I don't remember? How close am I? Even when I don't feel it, how close am I?
Okay.
Thank you, Lord, that I'm one with you.
See, and that's where I kind of wanted to ask that, because it can easily sound like, oh, well, we didn't have to do anything. God's done it all.
Yep.
And in certain areas, we can't do it, right? So he has. Mm-hmm. But we do have a responsibility to renew our mind daily, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
To abide in him. Mm-hmm. What would the healthy Christian life look like on our part? What would we be doing?
So right before this program, we were all talking about great restaurants. We were talking about great food and great restaurants. Mm-hmm. See, when you found a great restaurant and they're serving great food, it's natural to want to go back there and eat more and also tell people about it because it's delicious, it's amazing. It's no different with the good word of God. I mean, it's good food. And so when you look at who you are and that new heart that you've got, do I want to be stuck in that same old nasty way of living life? Or do I want the software updates? I've got new hardware. It's shiny and brand new from the factory, but I'm getting software updates. You know what that's like. There's that choice on your computer.
Right.
You can either hit the X and click out of it and say, forget it, or remind me tomorrow, Lord. Or you can say, yes, I accept the new software update. So that's the renewing of the mind. So, man, it is healthy and so good to fill your mind with new thoughts and new perspectives. The Holy Spirit's doing that. God's Word is doing that in you. So, you know, do you want to eat out of the dumpster and get sick, or do you want to eat at that brand new restaurant that is killer and it's so amazing and so delicious?
Well, yeah, Jesus describes being with him as a banquet.
Yes.
But somehow in our churches, we make it a beating.
Ooh. Mm. Yeah.
I'd just like to get back to the banquet.
Ooh, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Jesus is saying something that's pretty profound. I mean, he says, when you have the real thing, it's going to be easy and light, and you'll find rest for your soul.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were just studying Ephesians at the Grace Church, and in Ephesians it says, fathers, don't provoke your kids to anger, but instead bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. What that shows me is the instruction of the Lord doesn't make us angry or embittered, but he's training us for a better future.
Okay. We've answered four questions. There's another 97 in this book. And I tell you what, I would love to send this book to you if you'll support an outreach. In fact, there are some people who are literally hungry and thirsty and in great need right now, someone who needs a touch from God, and you can be that touch. Will you watch this and just pause and say a prayer? Say, Lord, what would you have me do? And if he moves on you, obey. And if you want to request Andrew's book, we'll send that to you. But watch this opportunity to be God's answer to someone else's prayer.
So, Tammy, we're coming into this village. I mean, I've actually never been to this village before.
Okay.
Our advanced team's been here. We've heard that there's over 190,000 people in this area that are chronically food insecure. There's been 6 years of drought here. So families told us they've totally run out of food. They've even eaten the seed that they had. So even if rain was to come sufficient to be able to farm, there's no way they could even plant because they've eaten their seed to try and survive. And so this really is a crisis situation. It's a case of us having to respond immediately with emergency food, bringing that in, being able to save lives, particularly of young children. You know, it's the little children like this that are the ones that are the most vulnerable.
Isak, I think about that little guy right now and what his life might be like every day. I mean, we're talking about these kids starving to death because they don't have food. It rips me up because some of these things I've not heard, and I know that our viewers have probably not even heard some of these stories, some of the statistics, and truly the reality of life and death. I don't know where you're at in life today. I don't know what your circumstance might be today as you're watching this. But I can almost bet you that it might be just a little bit better than the lives of these precious people here in this village right now. If you are in a position to give to this outreach, I would respond. If God is laying it on your heart, then I would respond and do whatever you can do. Because I know that when we come together as God's family, I totally believe, and those aren't just words, but I believe when we come together, we can make an enormous impact. And I want to make an impact in the lives of every one of these children. Let's do it today.
I was just in Ethiopia. That footage is very raw, and it's very recent. And the impression that those people left on my life and on my heart is eternal. The baby that you saw was in a malnutrition clinic, and she was dying. I think that was the hardest day of the entire trip for me. I mean, they're all shockingly hard and heartbreaking. But to sit and stand over a baby that was fighting for her life, dying before my eyes, and realizing that it was about food, the fact that she lacked food, her family lacked food, these children were all lacking food. Randy, it was devastating for me. I had to walk out of that room. I sobbed and I sobbed because I don't want them to have to live like that. And I kept asking God, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do, God, today? Because they might not have tomorrow.
I know. I have been in a clinic in Angola, actually, where I prayed for a little girl. I believe, I know God can heal miraculously. But she died that night. And that's a hard thing, you know. And you ask, you know, what do we do? Well, we do what we can do. You know, poverty is not a problem that's going to go away overnight. It's a generational thing. And that's why we feed 350,000 children every day already. And we only do that through the support of viewers just like you. And so those of you that have given, thank you. You have saved so many lives. But when we look and we see the situation in Ethiopia right now, and I won't explain it all right now, but I was accidentally in Ethiopia last year.
Oh,
wasn't
wow.
supposed to be there.
Really?
And got diverted there, and God touched my heart and said, there's something special here. And I didn't understand it. We had no plans to go there at the time, but then Isak went in. And look, we got teams on the ground. We have people ready to serve, literally to serve. Mm-hmm. We just need your support. Mm-hmm. And this is what it looks like. $30 will help feed three children for the next 3 months. Now, if you do the math on that, you go, that's remarkably little. Well, it's because we have many things in place. We just need to sort of cross the finish line. So your gift of $50 will help feed five children for the next 3 months. $100 will help feed 10 children. $1,000 would actually help feed 100 children for the next 3 months. We want to expand into this area in Ethiopia where, I'm telling you, there's something special. God wants us to be there. God wants to touch those people. There's deep roots in the Bible. But we need to do it together. God, we're His hands and His feet, Tammy.
We are.
It's when we come together and we do something that people see God's love in action.
Yes, and it's the need is very real, and we also have a way to help these people. We know how to do it.
You know,
there's crazy headlines all around the world right now. Mm-hmm. One that sticks out to me so much was the BBC that said Ethiopia starving in silence. Mm-hmm. They need us right now. It is dire. It is urgent. They cannot wait another day. Mm-hmm. So if God is laying it on your heart right now, I would ask you to respond right now. Do not hesitate. Make that call. Go online and give the very best gift you can.
And you know what?
Yes, tell me.
I want them, when they get the food, to know this was given by the people of God.
Yes.
So let's come together.
Yes.
Let's give them the gospel in word and deed. Go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. Severe drought and famine, including in crisis areas like Ethiopia, means we must replenish food supplies immediately to keep feeding 350,000 children and help reach more people in desperate need. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send the blessing of taking communion. In this book, discover how the sacred ordinance of communion helps to feed your soul and remind you of the transformative power of receiving the Lord's Supper. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Life Legacy Journal. This beautiful journal and pen will help you write your personal story and share the experiences that made you who you are. One day, the generations that follow will be able to look back and learn from the legacy you've left behind. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Ooh, I hope you're going online and giving the best gift you possibly could give today. And remember, we want to send you Pastor Andrew's book. You're going to love it. So with any amount that you're able to give today, we're going to send you this book. Just make sure to request it. Pastor Andrew, give us a final word.
Yeah, well, the big encouragement of the gospel is that you're clean, you're close, and you're new. Therefore, we can walk in a new way. But if you don't know you're clean and you don't realize how close you are and you don't see what sort of radical new transformation God has done at a heart level, then you're missing out on the best part of the gospel. So dive in, get to know God's grace, and you will have a whole new way to think and act.
Amen. What a good word for me today. I hope it's a good word for you.
Love it.
We love you. We appreciate you. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
Bye-bye.
I'm keeping this book.
It was like, it was an honest cry for help. And it was, God, I can't do this on my own. I'm sick of being who I am.
Zach Williams, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.